mightier than thunder, stronger than the seas, softer than velvet, robed in majesty. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, creation shout your name, forever you're the same. Your love is higher, higher than the skies, it's deeper, deeper than the ocean is wide. You're the color of all colors, if only we could see, it would be amazing beyond our wildest dreams. Swifter than a river, tamer than a stream, brighter than any star, bigger than anything. Creator of the universe, you are the God who sees. You know when a sparrow falls, and you care about me. Your love is higher, higher than the skies. It's deeper, deeper than the ocean is wide. You're the color of all colors, if only we could see, it would be amazing beyond our wildest dreams. Your love is higher, higher than the sky, it's deeper, deeper than the ocean is wide. You're the color of all colors, if only we could see, it would be amazing beyond our wildest dreams. Your love is higher.
Amen.
Amen.
Your grace is amazing. Your love is never ending. And I want to take moment to say I love you, to say I need you, to say forever be in my life. Your grace is amazing. Your grace is amazing. Your love is never ending. And I want to take this moment to say I love you, to say I need you, to say forever be in my life, forever, forever be in my life. Your grace is amazing, your love is never ending, and I want to take this
Waymaker, miracle
That is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. Never stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop. Never stop working, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are.
That is who. That is who you are.
Do we trust in that, folks? Do we believe in that, folks? He is a waymaker. It doesn't say what the circumstances need to be or might be or have to be or are. He is the waymaker. For our salvation, first and foremost, but for every other aspect of our lives. He is our way maker. Lead us again, Pastor Brian.
You are here, moving in our midst, ladies and gentlemen. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Oh, Lord, we are so grateful that we can come before you, that we can walk with you, that we can trust in you, that we can surrender to you. God, we are so grateful that we can be in your house, in your presence this morning. Lord, we are so grateful that you walk with us, that you talk with us, that you are there for us at all times, in all circumstances of life. God, we are so grateful that you have our best in mind. Lord, we are so, so grateful that we can serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that we can lift up our voice in praise and worship to the Creator of the universe. God, we are so blessed. We are so incredibly blessed. And we thank you, Father God, for all of these things. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work and move and touch hearts and minister to people this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would be open and receptive to hearing from you, to listening to that still soft voice that whispers in our ear. God, that we would listen and pay attention to you today. Lord, speak as you so desire to speak. Let us receive what you have to say today. In Jesus' name, amen. My thanks to Pastor Brian for sharing the word with us last week. A couple of you asked, I had asked him several weeks ago if he would be willing to share. I was down in Texas visiting my daughter for the week, and he was very happy to share the word, my appreciation for the word that he brought to us. Many of us spent some much-needed time last week here at the altar at the end of service, asking the Lord to speak to us, to share with us, to direct us and encourage us, to ask us what it is we might need to sacrifice in our lives. And trust me, every one of us have some sacrificing to do of some sort. And so I thank Pastor Brian for bringing that word, and I pray that you will continually seek the Lord and the direction that he has for you, and whatever other sacrifices you or I or we may need to make, we need to continue to be before him asking those questions. Some of us have sacrifices to make that we don't even realize that we need to make. Trust me, I know. Personally, I know. So I encourage you to keep praying in that direction as well. Today we are going to move back to our look at the fruit of the Spirit. We've got a couple of elements or pieces left to talk about regarding the fruit and these virtues that we need to demonstrate in our lives. And today we're going to look at a virtue, an element that sometimes can be difficult to apply, sometimes can be difficult to gauge or measure in our lives, but we'll get to that in a minute. I want us to take a moment, first of all, to read our text together. So Galatians chapter 5, hopefully by now you already know that reference, but that's where we're going to be for just a minute or two here this morning as we read together Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord and jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Today, the virtue that we look at is that of gentleness. And I said earlier, it's kind of difficult sometimes to apply this to our lives. Why do I say it's difficult to apply this to our lives? Because if we are honest, if we are truly, brutally open and honest, in today's self-centered world, many of us find it much easier to be callous and hard towards our neighbors, towards our coworkers, towards the people we meet in the grocery store, towards the people that rub us the wrong way. We are not looking out for each other. We are not as concerned about each other as we should be. In essence, we are not loving the way Christ has told us to love. When people or situations cross us, we don't typically look to respond with a loving, gentle heart. We calculate how to repay that act with another act. How can I get revenge? How can I get whatever I need to get back at that person? We try to gain the upper hand in whatever the situation is we find ourselves in, all without regard for who is around us, certainly without regard for those that we perceive have wronged us or offended us in some way. Let me give you a good idea, definition, if you want to call it that, explanation of what it means to be gentle. A balanced person and a disciplined person who has a gentleness in their lifestyle. I know we're not supposed to use the word in the definition of the word. I get that. But a balanced lifestyle, and I want you to remember that because there's a couple of key pieces here that we're gonna bring up that we have to understand the balance. We have to learn how to respond to people correctly. We have to learn how to disagree with each other without causing major conflict or issues with each other. Gentleness should be a key part of our lives. In fact, gentleness should be our automatic response to people and situations. That's how we love and encourage people. Not with that hatred, callous, let me get on top of the situation heart I talked about just a moment ago, but with gentleness and kindness and love. We live, unfortunately, in a very, very hard world today. And I got to tell you, over time, even Christians, even believers, even us sitting in this room, our hearts have been hardened by the situation, by the society around us, by the circumstances we see day after day after day. That's why we see so much self-centeredness in the world today. That's why we see so many people looking out only for themselves today, and that has crept into the church. We've talked about that before. That self-centeredness, that hard-heartedness, that personal gain idea is why so many advertisers advertise the way they do today. They gear it towards you personally. If it feels good, do it. If it makes sense to you, then it must be right. There are so many ads that tell us to focus in on ourselves. That's part of our problem in our society today. It's not, what about the next person? What about those around you? What about those in your midst? No. It's all about you, me. And that is a wrong attitude. Spiritually, we are called to be childlike. We are called to be humble and gentle in our responses, in our lives as a whole. And I got to tell you, that will take a great deal of purposeful work. It is not just going to happen. If you are going to or want to or desire in any way to have a gentle heart, be prepared to put in the work for it, because it's going to take effort and energy to change who we are and to become the gentle people we are supposed to be. I want to make sure that we understand very clearly one very important piece. Gentleness does not mean being passive or a pushover. Gentleness does not mean allowing yourself to be taken advantage of or to be run over by people. That is not what gentleness is all about. I want you to understand this very clearly. Jesus is our example in all things. All things. And Jesus was a very gentle man. He was not a pushover. He did not allow people to dictate his agenda or anything else in that line of thinking. He was not a person that just laid down and let people have their way with him or in his life. He was a very strong individual, but he did it all with a gentle, loving heart. And he is our example. This virtue becomes even more difficult to talk about because there's not a lot of mention of gentleness in and of itself in Scripture. In fact, if you look up gentleness, it only appears 6 times in text. And one of those is the verse we've been reading for weeks now. Part of the fruit of the Spirit. So there's 5 other verses that talk specifically about gentleness. Let's see what we can gain from those 5 verses this morning. The first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. By meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. Now, the verse goes on, but I'm going to stop there. Meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. To understand this verse, we need a tiny bit of background here, which I'm going to give you right now. This is Paul writing, of course. We know Paul wrote by the direction of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever misunderstand that. Paul wrote these words because he wanted to bring some clarity to a handful of things. See, people around him were bringing false accusations against... I'm sorry, did I say Peter? It's Paul. I don't know what I just said. It's Paul. Paul wrote these words. So forgive me if I said Peter. Paul, that's who I meant. The enemy's playing tricks on me. Paul wrote these words, and people were falsely accusing Paul of being one way in person and being another way in his writing, in his letter writing. They were accusing him of being harsh and solid and firm in his letter writing, but gentle and passive in his personal face-to-face discussions with people. And Paul wrote to clarify that. He said, listen, folks, that's not the case. If you want me to be a little bit harder, I can be harder. I'm paraphrasing here, of course, at this point. But this is what was happening at this point in time. In fact, in the next verse of chapter 10, Paul writes, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think we live by the standards of this world. He said, don't make me do that. If you want me to be harsh, I can be harsh, but don't make me do it. I'm trying to be more gentle, more passive, more understanding, and still approach the truth of what I have to tell you. If you study this section of Scripture, you will find Paul, a man that did not exalt himself or his accomplishments. He was not interested of patting himself on the back. He was not interested in talking about all the things that God had done through him, with him, in him. He was not interested in the accolades for himself. He wanted to do one thing, and that was boast in Christ. God did this. Jesus gave me this victory. God helped me overcome. Jesus changed my life. His passion, his heart, his desire was to exalt his Savior. And he did that by trying to put Christ forward. Some took what he was teaching as a sign of weakness. But Paul understood his position in Christ. He said, I don't give myself credit for these things. I realize I'm down here on the ladder. And Christ has done this through me. Christ has allowed this through me. I know my position. I know my place. And all glory, honor, and praise goes to God and God alone. He worked diligently to show his position in Christ to others. That's part of being gentle. Not patting yourself on the back like, oh, look what I did. Look how great I am. Look at how superb I figured this thing out. No. It's learning to step down and say, I praise God for allowing me to be a part of it. I praise God for him giving me that insight or seeing me through. That's part of having a gentle heart. The next scripture we come to is in Philippians. This one is chapter 4 and verse 5. It reads, let your gentleness be evident to all. Not to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Not to your parents or your children or your boss or your coworker or your teacher. Let your gentleness be evident to all. You know that person that you've met that you just cannot stand? You're supposed to be gentle and loving and kind and compassionate and caring towards that person. I'm not pointing to, we all have people that we've met in our lives that just rub us the wrong way. I get it. I understand that. But that doesn't change how we are supposed to act or respond or speak to them. Doesn't change who we are supposed to be in Christ. Let your gentleness be evident to all. I know that seems like a very straightforward statement, but here's the thing about this. These, again, are words that Paul wrote, but you know what Paul was doing here? Paul was speaking specifically to those within the church at this letter. This wasn't written to his enemies. This wasn't written to the person he had a hard time with, or he just couldn't get along with, or his co-worker that drove him nuts. This was written to his brothers and sisters in Christ. This was written to the church. Why? Because he, at this point, was dealing with division in the church. There was problems. There was lack of unity. There was division and dissension and argument amongst the believers in the church. And Paul had to address that. And he very clearly said to the church, let your gentleness be evident to all. He was encouraging them. Work out your disagreements. Stop being hard-hearted or hard-headed. Understand you have differing opinions, but that doesn't mean you can't work together. You know, here's something we forget, and we forget this way too much. Our opinions are just that. Our opinions. They're not fact. They're not always even biblically based. Our opinions are only simply just our opinions. And as long as it doesn't compromise the Word of God, our opinion is not the rock-solid truth. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. We have to step down sometimes. We have to step back sometimes and say, well, I've always thought about things this way, but maybe I need to look at them differently. Again, I'm not trying to compromise the Word of God. I'm not saying we go against Scripture in any way, shape, or form. But our opinions need to step down a level or three. And we need to stop being so hard-hearted about our simple opinions. Sometimes, to be honest, sometimes our opinions aren't right at all. They're just something we've heard or held on to or something somebody else told us that sounded good. But we got to be careful about our opinions. And we got to work on those disagreements amongst ourselves. The correct reaction is not one of stubbornness, but of gentleness, respectfulness, encouragement, building each other up. Remember, that's a key piece of Scripture. We are to encourage and build each other up. The next Scripture, the next book we're going to look at is in Colossians. Here again, we see some more instructions on how we are supposed to live. In fact, we've said this before, this section of Scripture has a nice modern-day title to it that we all should flock to this section of Scripture and read it over and over and over and over again, because the title speaks volumes, Rules for Holy Living. You want to know how you're supposed to act? You want to know what kind of person you're supposed to be? You want to know what Scripture expects of you? Rules for Holy Living. Sounds like a pretty important section of Scripture, doesn't it? Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Should I read that again? Actually, maybe we should read it slightly different. Let me read it this way. Because we are God's chosen, we need to cover ourselves with His characteristics. And there's a few of them. Because we are His chosen, we need to cover ourselves with His characteristics. So many people, maybe even some of us in this room, so many people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and assumed that that was it. That was the end of the story. That's all they had to do. There was never another thing to think about again. They accepted Christ as their Savior and said, I'm good, I'm done. But I got to tell you something, that's not quite right. The truth of the matter is that our profession of faith is just the beginning. Just the beginning, just the tip. Christ died, Christ rose again, absolutely. He saved us. It's not by works, it's not by anything we can do or earn or come up with. There is no price at which we can repay Him. There is nothing we could do differently. Christ was sacrificed for you and I so that we can be saved. Absolutely, yes. However, He asks us to begin to change and act and function and be different going forward. He never looked at me and said, great, Kurt saved, I'm done with him. Thank God he never said that. He looked at me and said, I love you, I forgive you, and now I've got some instructions for you. Here's what you need to do next. And when I made that step, he said, okay, here's what you need to do next. And so on and so on. And he's doing the same thing for you. Whether you're listening, whether you believe it, whether you accept it, that doesn't really matter. He's doing it. You have to trust it. You have to learn to walk in it just as much as I have had to learn to walk in it. If you search Scripture and you're open and honest about it, you will never find a verse that tells you to keep on living the way you were. You will never find a verse that tells you you're perfect just the way you are, stay that way, don't change. You're not going to find it. I challenge you. Prove me wrong. Scripture tells us that we need to move away from our sin. It tells us we need to repent. That word alone simply means to turn around and walk the opposite direction we've been walking. So there's your change right there. The idea of repenting. Instead of, that falls into this whole concept of what we're talking about. Instead of being argumentative, instead of being selfish or self-centered or arrogant or always having to be right, we need to learn to wrap our minds, our hearts, our lives around this idea of becoming gentle, among other things, but becoming gentle. Again, not some wet noodle that people can run all over and just have their way with. That's not what we're talking about. But we are talking about being gentle of heart. Let's look at our next scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where we'll find our next reference. 1 Timothy 6, 11. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Timothy was being told here to flee from worldly issues and false teachings. Flee those worldly issues. Flee those false teachings. And put on all this other stuff. In fact, look at the word he uses again. Pursue. Pursue the things that matter to God. Not hope they work out. Not hope they happen. Pursue. Look up that word, folks. That is a strong word. It's not just meandering along. No, it's going after it diligently. Diligently seeking it. Pursue. See, gone are the days of us living mediocre lives. We are living in the last days. We are living in the end times. You know, if you don't believe that, then I question your knowledge of God's Word. That might sound harsh, but it's true. Read Scripture. Study Scripture. I don't know how a person could not think we are so close to the end of times. Things are so bad in our world today, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We are living in the last days. Life on this earth, like it or not, is on a downward spiral. There is more corruption in this world today than ever before. There are more false teachers in this world today than ever before. One step further, there are more false churches in this world today than ever before. I wondered whether I should share this or not, but I'm going to say it because it bothers me so much. There was an article that was given to me recently here of a new church that was opening up not far from here, a couple towns over. A new church that is opening up. But if you read this article and you read what this church believes in, oh my word, I can't understand how anybody could call that a church. They are taking, in my opinion, part of the world, part of the gospel, part of other pagan religions and trying to mesh them all together. And they're calling it a new church. People, there are false teachers and false churches popping up all day long, every day of the week. We cannot, as born-again Christians, we cannot continue to live mediocre lives. We cannot allow stuff like that to happen without getting fueled up about it, without speaking our piece about it gently and lovingly. I was getting worked up there, I could tell. We got to learn to be gentle with people and yet still speak the truth to people. One thing jumped out at me on this 1 Timothy verse, or one other thing. Look at how it starts out. He says, "You, man of God." How does that make you feel? Woman of God, man of God. If you are a born-again, spirit-filled believer in Jesus Christ, you are a man or woman of God. That's who you are. That's another title you have now. Mr., Mrs., Mom, Dad, Aunt, Uncle, man or woman of God. That's another title you hold. Now, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to be His representative? What does it mean to be a man or woman of God? That, we've got to take that to heart. We've got to understand how important that is. We are His representative. And we need to allow that title to spark a little passion in our heart. Let's look at this from a different perspective again. If we are not doing what we are called to do, if we are not doing what Scripture tells us to do, then we don't get to hold that title. We don't get to claim those promises. We don't get to stand in all that stuff that the Word of God tells us about. We don't get all those benefits if we are not going to be who He tells us to be. If we're not going to take on the characteristics that He tells us to take on. We cannot live by the world and in accordance to the Spirit. It's one or the other. It's not both. Or it's not a balancing act. As a man or woman of God, we must pursue what is right and true and according to God's standards. And that includes learning to live in gentleness with sinners and saints alike. You know, when God's gentleness is in fact evident in our lives, that will speak volumes to people. You'll be astonished at how loudly that speaks to people when you live and function in the gentleness that Christ wants you to function in. One last scripture to look at. This one is in 1 Peter. It gives us some more instruction on how we are to live, how we are to be different than this self-centered world. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Gentleness and respect. We cannot do things from the perspective of arguing with people. We simply cannot do that. In fact, again, hear me when I say this. We all think sometimes about those evangelists that stand out on the street corner and scream and holler and yell at the top of their lungs, right? Turn or burn, you're going to die. They might have their place, they might have their purpose, but are they being gentle and loving in their approach? They're speaking truth. If we don't turn, we'll burn. But can we do that in a gentle, loving, respectful manner? Think about that. How can we do it a little differently? Not being timid or afraid, but not being so harsh or forceful or condemning either. There's a balance in that. We, you and I, every one of us hearing this, we are called to share the gospel message. Every last one of us are called to share the gospel message. I hope we understand that. Evangelism, telling the gospel truth, speaking the word of God, is not reserved for pastors or evangelists or missionaries or theologians or those who have studied Scripture for 380 years. Evangelism, spreading the gospel message, is your job. It's my job, but it's your job. Every single one of us are called to tell our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family members. There are people in your life that I will never meet. So if it's solely my responsibility, they're doomed. You have people in your life that you need to share the gospel message with. And you need to learn how to do it in a loving, gentle, kind manner. So many people are put off by today's Christians who do nothing but condemn people. It's not our job to condemn them. It's our job to love them. Do we have to agree with their lifestyle or their attitudes or their ways of thinking or how they approach things? No. Absolutely, we don't have to agree with them. But we have to stop condemning them and learn how to gently approach and love them. Not yelling our demands, not stopping and screaming, but lovingly sharing the truth with them. One thing for sure about the fruit of the Spirit, this whole thing makes us do some self-examination. Walk through these 9 elements on your own every day. Pick them apart, pull them apart. Read one sentence of Scripture at a time if you have to and dwell on it. It demands self-examination. We cannot just read through this text and walk away saying, I got it all figured out. If we could do that, our name would be Jesus. We need to dig on this. We need to dissect this. We need to understand this. And if we're going to be the believers we're called to be, if we're going to be the church that we're called to be, if we're going to be the individual people we have called to be, then we've got to take some time to chew on each and every one of these virtues, these elements. We've got to take them to heart. We've got to reflect on them. And we have to willingly choose to improve on them in our lives. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how strong or powerful of a Christian you may or may not be. There is not a person in this world that is a believer in Jesus Christ that shouldn't be chewing on His truth daily. And especially in this context, these verses. Are we loving? Are we gentle? Are we kind? Are we being the reflection of Christ that we are supposed to be? As are His characteristics tattooed onto us? That's a taboo word to us. We don't like the idea of tattoos. Well, these are good tattoos. If I can be tattooed with kindness and gentleness and love, then I need to be. We need to chew on these things and choose to improve our lives. Choose to be who Christ has called us to be. Choose to be the fruit that God desires us to be. Will we allow these elements, these virtues, to grow and blossom and mature in our lives? Will they become a priority to us? That's your choice. I don't get to choose for you. You have to choose for yourself. I implore you to choose to improve. Lord, help us to do just that. Lord, starting with me, let every one of us work at being who You have called us to be. God, help us. Help us to be ripe, plump, passionate fruit for You. God, make the changes in our lives that need to be changed. Help us, Lord, no matter how hard they might be, to tackle these changes and to pursue them passionately in the name of Jesus. God, help us to be who You want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. Thank You, Jesus. There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. Lord Jesus, there is none like You, and we ask, Jesus, that You would continue to still in us the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, especially this week, Lord God, as we learn to invoke Your gentleness in our own lives and in the lives of others. Help us to love You and to love others, Lord God. Your Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us, Lord God. And we praise You and thank You, Lord. We commit this day into You. We pray that You'd go forth before us. Help us to have a wonderful time of fellowship and food. And God, may You bless our conversation. In Jesus' name.